Good morning, church. The scripture this morning can be found in John chapter 11. We will be reading verse 17 to 27. So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. Martha, therefore, when she heard that Jesus was coming, went to meet him, but Mary stayed at the house. Martha then said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, even he who comes into the world."
Good to see everyone here this morning. You know, I heard on the news Saturday morning that the groundhog came out and didn't see a shadow. So we have 6 more weeks of this. You know, you go outside, you think we're in July, until you go inside and look at the calendar, and the calendar says February. It's hard to believe, isn't it? I looked at the weather report and found that the warmest place in the continental United States Friday was Palm Springs. It was 91 degrees in Palm Springs. The coldest place in the continental United States on Friday was Mount Washington, New Hampshire, at minus 27 degrees. That's why we live here. People wonder, why in the world do you live in earthquake country? Why do you live in California? Well, that's one of the primary reasons. But California has its dark side as well. This week, the California Senate passed Senate Bill 320, requiring the 34 University of California and California State University campuses to provide medication abortion, often called the abortion pill. They're to provide it in their health care centers, ensuring it's available to students by no later than January of 2022. If the bill moves through the state assembly and is signed into law by the governor, California would become the first state in the nation to pass such legislation at a time when many states are limiting access to the abortion pill. Students currently have to leave campus to access reproductive health services, said a local representative, sometimes traveling for hours and missing school and work. Half of all students across both systems come from low-income families, according to the UC San Francisco report, creating further cost barriers and undue hardships for students who need abortions. I think that somewhere in here, there's a cure for the problem of abortion. And I think we as God's people need to get into this word and make sure that we're out there telling everyone that God has a plan for you. And it's not society's plan, it is God's plan. And you know, that's exactly what Jesus was doing. As we look at these I am statements of his that are found in John chapter, in fact, the books, John chapter 11 we're looking at now. In fact, if you have your Bibles open, please stay there. That's going to be the focal point of our study this morning. Jesus, in this particular I am statement, said, "I am the resurrection and the life." And again, Jesus was attempting to explain in these I am statements exactly who he was and what God sent him to do, what God's plan was for us through him. Jesus was trying to clarify to the people that I'm not just the son of Joseph and Mary. I'm not a prophet like Moses, but I am the one sent by God from heaven to save mankind. So this morning, as we did last week when we looked at the I am the bread of life, I want us to first examine the setting. We find the setting in verses 1 through 24 here in John chapter 11. Jesus receives the word that Lazarus, a good friend of his, is deathly ill. He lives in Bethany, which is a couple miles outside of the city of Jerusalem. And as you know, Lazarus is the brother of Mary and Martha, whom we read about in Luke chapter 10. Let's look at verses 1 through 3 in chapter 11. Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and his sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one, if you'll remember, who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sister sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." Don't you love the way that that's phrased? Lord, the one, not just our brother's sick or Lazarus is sick, the one you love is sick. You know, isn't it good to know, and interesting to know as well, that Jesus didn't just have followers. He did not just have apostles, but he had friends. He had friends that he loved. And Mary, and Martha, and Lazarus were those friends. And aren't we his friends also? You are my friend if what? If you keep my commandments. We are a friend of Jesus. But wouldn't you think that Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, if his friend whom he loved was ill, don't you think that Jesus would have stopped him from dying? I mean, think about it. If you had the power of Jesus, and it was your good friend whom you loved that was deathly ill, wouldn't you have saved him? Wouldn't you have stopped him from dying? But he didn't. He didn't because that's part of life. Death is part of life. Look at starting with verse 4. When he heard this, Jesus said, "The sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. And then he said to his disciples, "Let's go back to Judea." "But Rabbi," they said, "a short while ago the Jews there tried to stone you, and yet you're going back?" Verse 9, Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Anyone who walks in the daytime will not stumble, for they see by this world's light. It's when a person walks at night that they stumble, for they have no light." After he had said this, he went to tell them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to wake him up." His disciples replied, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better." Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and for your sake I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." You know, when you read this, it's a little confusing. Is Lazarus dead or not? Is he sick or not? And think about the time frame. It's estimated that Jesus was about 30 miles away from Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And he was dying. But yet, what did Jesus do when he heard the news? He waited 2 days to go to Bethany. Does that make sense to you? He waited 2 days before he went. All right, so let's look at the time frame. 30 miles is estimated to be about 1 day's journey by foot. We travel 30 miles from here to Santa Maria is about 30 miles, roughly. It takes us half an hour, maybe 20 minutes if you're running late. But it's a 1 day's journey back then by foot. So, the messengers leave Bethany. They find Jesus. That's 1 day. Jesus, on hearing the news, waits how many days? 2 more days. So that's 3 days. And now, assuming there's no time delay, Jesus then leaves with the disciples and goes back, or goes over to Bethany. That's another day. That's 4 days. That's 4 days. And he's been dead. Did Jesus have to go to Bethany to heal him? You know, there were instances we see Jesus saying that the sickness did not result in death. That's what he's telling the disciples when he got the news. But looking at the time frame, the fact of the matter is, by the time Jesus got the news, Lazarus was already dead. But yet Jesus said this sickness is not going to result in death. Because Jesus knew that Lazarus was dead. He knew that Lazarus was dead before the messengers even left to tell him. But Jesus also knew what he was going to do. He knew, by the way, think about this. Is death the worst thing in the world that could happen to a child of God? Is death the worst thing that could happen? You know, we're afraid of death so much for ourselves sometimes, or for our loved ones sometimes. But Lazarus was loved by Jesus. Jesus knew what was in his heart. Lazarus was no longer on this earth. He was in paradise. Someone, a child of God who has gone through an illness and passed this life and now they're in paradise, where is the last place they want to be? The last place they want to be is back here in this diseased, painful body. And Jesus knew that. Lazarus was sick. But Jesus said, it's for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it, that he went back, and for our belief that he went back to heal Lazarus. Look at verses 38 through 40. Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? Remember what the purpose of miracles was? John chapter 20 and verse 30. Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these that we're reading about, which are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. These miracles were performed so that we might believe that he is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So Jesus is going to try to travel to Bethany and those with him so he can show them his deity in action. So we see Mary outside of Bethany. Beginning of verse 33, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see the Lord," they replied. Verse 35. It's a verse I think we all have memorized. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But you know, it wasn't for Lazarus that Jesus was weeping. Jesus knew where he was. He knew where he was going to be. Then why was he weeping? Why was he so sad? Because he was weeping out of compassion and love for Mary and Martha and those who were mourning the loss of Lazarus. We have a compassionate Savior. We have one that weeps when we weep. We have one that's aware of everything that we're going through, and he is genuinely touched in the heart by the sufferings that we go through. We see that right here. These things were written so that we might believe. Jesus wept. Why, we're told in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, "Cast all your cares on him." Why? Because he cares for you. We're so blessed. So that's the setting. Let's take a minute to look at the saying. What is it that Jesus meant when he said, "I am the resurrection and the life"? Again, look at verses 21 through 26. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live again, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" Here Jesus is telling him really some parallel statements. He said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live." And then he says, "I am the life. Whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." What is he talking about? Aren't these contradictory statements? Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I think he's talking about two different deaths. Two different deaths. We're talking about both a physical and a spiritual death. And they are two completely different deaths. You see, unless the Lord returns, physical death is something we all have to face. It's a fact of life. Guess what? We're all going to die. We don't know when. We just know that it's a fact of life. Hebrews 9 and verse 27. "As it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." That, my friends, is a death we're all going to have to face. And there's a spiritual death. Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." That's spiritual death. Well, if that's spiritual death, what's the difference between spiritual and physical death? Well, James chapter 2 and verse 26 starts to explain it. Turn over there if you would, and let's take a look at the very short verse, but I want us to think about that. James 2 and verse 26. "As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is death." So that's physical death. When the spirit leaves the body, what happens to the body? It dies. That's physical death.
There is a separation that takes place at physical death. The spirit leaves the body, and the body dies. And what is spiritual death? In spiritual death, there is a separation as well. But this separation, it's a separation from God. It's the separation of the spirit from God. Isaiah, in talking to the Israelite nation in Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 2, your sins have separated you from your God. Sin causes separation from God, and that's spiritual death. All of us have to face a physical death. But in the book of Revelations, we're told that there are those who can escape the second death, and that's the spiritual death. Jesus is trying to tell us, Jesus is trying to tell them that he has the power to bring the dead to life. Before this time, had Jesus ever raised anyone from the dead? We see that. I put a couple up here on the screen. He raised Jairus' daughter in Luke chapter 8, and he raised the widow of Nain's son in Luke chapter 7. Both had been dead about a day. No one had ever been dead for 4 days and then raised from the dead by Jesus. And so some feel that's the greatest miracle that he's ever performed. Raising someone from the dead that had been dead for 4 days. But Jesus says this. I have the power over death. I have the power, and he proved this with Lazarus, to go into the spiritual world, to find the spirit of Lazarus, to bring it back here to earth and unite it with the body of Lazarus so he would live again. For Lazarus to live again, that's exactly what had to happen. It happened in an instant. There it is. It happened in an instant, but that's the way he did it. The body without the spirit is dead. Jesus went into the spirit world, paradise, where he found the spirit of Lazarus. He brought it back, reunited it with the body, so that Lazarus would live again. It's incredible when you think about that. Jesus is saying that he is the origin, he is the cause, he is the power of the resurrection in life. He's the source, he's the giver of all life. We see in John chapter 1:1-4, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was of God. We see that he created everything. He's the source, the giver of life. He is the source of the resurrection. And Jesus promises the faithful Christians, us, that we shall never die. So what is the significance of all of this? What does all this mean to us? It means the one who believes in Christ has eternal life that transcends physical death. The one who believes in Christ is promised that he will be raised from the dead as Christ was. That's the power of his resurrection. Death for the faithful is not the end of life, but it's the beginning of true life. It's the beginning of true life. What happens to a faithful Christian in death is that they never die. There's a separation of our spirit and our body, but our body is simply a shell. It's this earthly vessel that houses our spirit. And Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 7 reminds us that the dust returns to the ground it came from, and the spirit returns to the God who gave it. A faithful Christian dies, but he never will die. And as God's child, we have nothing to fear in death because of this. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. But the key to all of this, the key to everything we've talked about this morning, is simply what Jesus asks in verse 26. Do you believe this? That's really the key. That's a summation of everything that he said and everything he did. He wanted to make sure that this question was posed. Do you believe this? And that question is to us as well. Do we believe this? Do we believe that he is the resurrection and the life? Do we believe in God's plan of salvation? And not just believe it, do we live it? God had a specific plan for a specific reason. And that's because he created us to live with him forever. That's why we have a body and a spirit. But whether we do or not, whether that final death is separation or not, is up to us. That's the choice that he's given us, and the way we live and the way we obey lovingly the words that he's given us in his word. So this morning, as we look at our lives and ask ourselves, do we believe that? Do we live my life in accordance with that, that Jesus is the resurrection and the life, that he's promised us eternal life with him if we live accordingly? If we're having a problem with that, if we're not living like we should, we've not become a child of God yet, we need to do that first and foremost. So if we can help in any way this morning, we ask that you come forward as together we stand and sing.